Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right. Hey, everybody. It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. We are going to have some fun today. I am excited. We're going to talk some volleyball with future Indiana University volleyball star, Miss Ellie Hepler. You guys are going to love her. So, Ellie, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, man. Life is good. Thank you for sitting down with us. So as we record right now, we are in the middle of April. We usually stagger these and hold them for a couple of weeks. But by the time you all hear this, Ellie will be just about done with high school and headed off to Indiana University. So I imagine, Ellie, it's a mixture of excitement and a little bit of nerves. So just tell us a little bit about what is coming up in the next couple of months. Where are you headed?
Yeah, so end of May is graduation, so I'll officially be done with high school, which is crazy. And then actually the next day, I'm flying out to Europe with the IU volleyball team to go on a little bit of like a tour. We're going to be playing teams from like Portugal, Spain, and I'm super excited about that. And then once we get back, we'll obviously go into like camps and stuff that summer, but that's where I'm headed right now, so.
So that is crazy. So we were joking around before we went on air. I'm like, are you ready to be done with high school? You've got to be over it at this point. Like the hay's in the barn. You're headed to like your dream school to do what you've always dreamt of doing. And so literally the day after you graduate, you are going on a European tour with your college volleyball team.
Yep.
It's got to make like a history final. It just seems silly right now.
100%. 100%.
Oh my goodness. Well, that is really, really wild. So did you know all of this like when you first started the recruiting process? Is this a normal thing? Is this something that all schools at this level are doing, or kind of a perk of being at IU? Or
yeah, I think it's starting to become more common, especially at the top programs. But I think IU goes every 4 years to a different place to travel and play all these national teams from Europe. So
nice. So do you know where you're staying? You say you're playing all those teams. Where is it actually held? Are you traveling from city to city, or are you guys going to one like static location in Europe? Or
yeah, we're going to travel from city to city. So we'll spend 4 days in like each location.
Wow. So give us some of the highlights, man. I'm sure there's all the like all these little girls are already like psyched to listen to you. They want to be you. Now it's like unfair. Now every parent wants to go tag along too. So, all right, so give us the rough
that's
itinerary.
How my parents feel.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah. Is mom coming with? And mom and dad?
I don't think so, but no, they are definitely hoping that they'll get the opportunity to go sometime.
Are we waiting for the 3 a.m. score updates? It's a tough time change. All right, so what all cities are you going to? Do you know?
Yes, so we're going to, I believe our first stop is in Turkey. Wow. And so we'll spend four days there. I'm pretty sure that's our big volleyball stop. And then we're going to head to Portugal. I'm not sure when, but I know we're going surfing at some point, which is a little nerve-wracking because I've never been personally, and I'm not going to be very good at it, but we're going to try it. So
I got a funny feeling you'll be fine. Most of our audience is American. Like that is quite a travel gap.
Yes,
like Turkey
100%.
And Portugal are not next door for our non-geography buffs. You're going to cross quite a few countries in between there. So, wow. Well, that is super exciting. So obviously the future is so bright. You're headed off to your dream school, but things like this don't just happen on accident. It is quite a path and a journey to get there. So let's go way back. So when did you first start playing volleyball? And then second question is, when did you not just start playing, but realize like, I want to play.
Right.
I'm not just bump, set, spite at recess. Like I want to do this.
Yeah. Okay. This is kind of the stereotypical answer, but my parents like to say that I was playing volleyball before I could even walk. My mom said that she would toss me balls and I would just barely have my hands together and try to kind of pass it back to her, you know, but my dad and I growing up, we would play against my front door. My mom used to like joke and be like, Ellie, can you quit? Like you've been going for hours. Like I just need some peace and quiet. But I always had a ball in my hands, like always trying to play. So I think that it's always just been like a part of who I was. But for me, at least, knowing like I really wanted to play, I grew up in the gym with my mom as a coach. So I mean, I grew up watching all these bigger girls playing at such like a high level, and I was like, I want to be like that one day. And back when I was, I want to say 9, one of my mom's former, like, just kind of acquaintances, John Shondell. I'm not sure if you know who that is, but he
Yeah,
was.
so real quick for anyone at home, like if that sounds familiar and you caught her mom's episode, so we had your mom too.
Oh,
Like so
yes, of course.
sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, no, you're totally fine. But my mom had posted like a video of me like serving a ball, I think, and John had reached out to her and asked like, "Hey, we're in West Lafayette, which I know is pretty far, but we'd love to have Ellie on our travel team." And my mom was like, "You know what? Sure, we'll try it out a year." And I absolutely loved it. I think my mom said my first practice, I showed up, and after the practice was done, I was like, "Mom, like these are my people. Like I love this place." And right then I knew that that was what I wanted to do, and I never left. I've been there for the past 10 years, so that was huge for me,
See,
but
that's incredible. I always like to walk the fine line here because we have some conversations and we've had some guests on that are appropriately concerned about some of the things that are happening with youth athletics, the extreme monetization, the massive level of commitment being required at a young
Right.
age, and sometimes even the way it's being portrayed to parents of do this or else. You can't
Right.
possibly. And so we always talk about where that fine line is. And by no means are we anti-sports, obviously, right? That's all we do is talk about sports.
100%.
But I think it's huge that the athlete is driving this more than mom or dad. And
Yes.
so by age 10, obviously, your mom has access to all these opportunities given what she does for a living, but you knew, like, you were the one saying, Mom, I want to drive. And for those of you on our national audience, West Lafayette to here, it's about a 2 hour drive, hour 45. Oh, you're Warsaw. It's a little closer, about an hour 45. Yeah, that's a hike. I mean, so we're 3.5 hours in a car 2 days a week, 3 days a week,
3 days a week.
3 days a week. So we're spending basically 9 hours, 10 hours in a car every week for your entire childhood. That is quite a price to pay. If you don't love it, right? So I'm just curious, at any point during those 8, 9, 10 years of this, were there some times where you're like, I don't want to go,
Mean,
right?
yeah, sometimes the drive does feel taxing. You're like, well, man, like all my other friends, they're just driving a few minutes to practice and coming home, and they have their whole like night. But I actually think that it was really good for me because I learned a lot of like time management. Like I did a lot of homework in the car. I mean, we read like the Iliad freshman year, and that is just so awful. But I was able
Oof.
to get a lot of it done, like reading in
Yeah.
the car, which was really nice actually.
Good
But
thing that wasn't audio. That's a tough one to drive through.
oh my goodness, I know. But yeah, in all seriousness, my parents always made sure like I knew if I was done, like they were fully supporting me 100%, and I just never got to that point. So
So that's amazing. We've had that conversation in our household. Like, I don't think, I just try to be cautious putting my daughters in here too much and embarrassing them. But they're at different ages. My youngest is right about when you started. She's that age, and you'll get to meet her today. And she's kind of
Yes.
wired for it, right? I mean, like she would be. I've talked about what about this option? Well, no, that's what about my team? Those are my teammates, right? Like, I mean, she had two practices, and then her birthday party list changed. A bunch of kids from school she
Oh,
doesn't even go
yes.
to have to be at her 10th birthday now, right? So, but my other daughter's getting ready to enter high school, and we're going through it even this weekend. There's a big birthday party on Friday, but we also have our club travel basketball team practice. And here's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of athletes, where I don't mind either decision. Personally, it like choose whatever you want, it's your life. But if we are choosing this path for athletics, this is not the last time where we're going to have to make one of those tough decisions. So, how did you deal with that part of the commitment where there were dances and parties you didn't go to? There were birthday parties, there were sleepovers, there are things that some of your friends had a more normal life are doing you didn't get to do. So how did you deal with that part?
Yeah, I think for me, my teammates made it really easy. Like, I would say that those are we're family now. I mean, we've been together for 10 years, like I said,
Wow.
and right away we knew, like, this is our group of people. We're all crazy enough to drive far and commit to these practices every week. And yeah, they became my best friends. So I think for me, at least, it was pretty easy because I knew, like, yes, I have to sacrifice things back at home, and I love my friends at home so much, but it just made it that much easier that I had to miss because I was with a group of people that I love so much. So,
Yeah, and I would imagine that they have very similar goals and dreams. So,
yes.
what are some schools that some of your teammates are committed to? I would imagine a lot of them are having opportunities on maybe similar scales and some probably
Yeah.
much smaller schools, but still amazing opportunities. So, I'm just curious. So, where are some of your teammates going? This is, by the way, this is like a national champion level club team, right? You guys
Yes.
first, second in the nation. I don't want to shortchange you.
Yeah.
You won it all, runner
Yeah.
up.
I think we've won three times
Okay, that's what I
and
thought.
yeah, a few top five finishes here and there. But one of my absolute best friends right now, she actually graduated early and she's at Kansas State University. A few of my teammates, App State, Western Kentucky, Purdue Fort Wayne.
Nice.
We have a few NAIA. We're Marion, Taylor, Iowa State, just a lot of places, Big 10, Big 12. Oh, Illinois, I forgot. One of my teammates is gonna be a few hours down the road from me, which
Oh,
is super
media
nice. So
University of Illinois. Ah, so you'll see
yes.
her then. That's on the Big
Yep.
Ten schedule. Okay.
Yes.
Very cool. So I imagine there's just some tremendous power in having friends with similar goals who are going through similar things and where you can compete with one another. But I mean, it's even biblical. Iron sharpens iron. And what's the old line? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And how cool that you're surrounding yourself with those types of folks. So I think it's interesting too, as you look at your career. So obviously you're playing with a group of people at that level that are phenomenally committed. That is all either incredible NAIA programs, D1 programs, even some of the top D1 programs. So we're talking major Power Five conference schools here. So that is rare, right? You go in a state like Indiana, I don't know the volleyball numbers off the top of my head. Basketball, I think we have 13 in the entire state signed D1 letters, and only three of them were Power Five conferences. It's very, very, very rare. So you're playing with these folks at that level of dedication, and then you come back home and you're playing on a high school team where
Right.
your teammates are fantastic, wonderful kids, but not at the same level, either ability-wise or, let's face it, from a commitment lifestyle standpoint. So how do you make that adjustment to still be a really good leader, but also be one of the girls and one of your teammates? I think a lot of elite athletes struggle with that balance.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, it is a totally different level of, but I think that for me is understanding like that it is going to be a different level of commitment, and that's okay. And just I feel like high school for me, I was able to have so much fun, knowing like my role on the team and trying to help bring others along with me, even if they weren't playing at a higher level club or whatever else. I think that I was able to grow as a leader, especially in that situation, even because
Sure.
I felt like I was a leader on my club team, but it is easier to lead when the girls are at that same level of commitment. And so you have to have a lot of patience and even with yourself, because like you want to work so hard, but you also have to respect that the others are at the level they are as well. So.
Yeah, I think we've had that discussion with my youngest daughter and her team. Her school teammates are wonderful kids. I coach many of them. I love them. They're fantastic. It's different when she's playing at her school versus when she's playing with her larger feeder school club team versus when she's playing with her OPS elite team, which are some of the top girls in the region. It's completely different. The games don't even look the same. Like she played an elementary school game yesterday. I think they won like 44 to nothing, and she wasn't allowed to shoot in the second half or guard the ball handler, right? But then we go to an OPS game. She's not a physical early bloomer. She's not one of the top players on her team. She's like 5'2". She's one of the tiny kids. It's crazy, a 5'2" tiny fifth grader. But we've got like four girls that are like 5'7". So it's like it's completely night and day. And we've had that discussion of like having appropriate expectations of your teammates and being supportive and uplifting and not judging. And that's tough for like 10
100%.
or 11-year-olds. So now you have the extra wrinkle of, so not only are you playing at this level and on this trajectory, you're also playing for mom.
Yes.
So before we dig deeper here, and again, I think I mentioned it a few seconds ago, make sure you check out her mom's episode on here too. She was a couple months ago. Unbelievable coach, and it was a delight meeting her too. But so what's it like? What was it like playing for mom for all 4 years of your high school career, correct?
Yep, all
Yeah.
4 years. And she also coached me my entire 10 years at club too.
Oh,
So
she was the head coach there, or she just was an
she
assistant?
was an assistant,
Oh, okay. I knew
but
she was involved. But I knew you'd played for other coaches. So what's it like playing for mom? I mean, the good and the bad.
I think the great part is she's also my biggest supporter. So she's going to push me, just like any other coach would, but I know at the end of the day she wants what's best for me. Which is great. I think something that was hard is like knowing, like trying to blend the line between like mom and coach. Like a lot of our conversations are about volleyball. So,
Oh, I get
just
it.
yeah, I'm sure you understand. So just trying to balance like volleyball versus home, but it was always great. I mean, she was definitely hard on me, which is great because that's exactly what I needed to get to where I was. So I'm super thankful for that. But also, just knowing that she was my biggest supporter was huge too. So,
See, I'm working on a project now with a couple of other guests, and hopefully we'll turn it into book format soon that is focused on that dynamic. So we've been doing tons of research on that dynamic of parents coaching their son or daughter, how it impacts the adult, how it impacts the player as they come up. And one of the most fascinating things we found was, I know for me, the big fear is always, I don't want to ever show any accidental favoritism to either of my daughters.
100%.
Because they already have a target on them, right? There is way more attention. Sometimes their success, your success, I imagine, is no by no intent, but sometimes a little bit discounted. Well, her mom's the coach.
100%.
Like, well, her mom's a coach doesn't get you to IU, right? I mean,
Right.
that may get you the last starting spot if it's a coin flip, but you know, but it almost diminishes it. But what they find that happens is more often than not, it's not favoritism, it's the exact opposite. It is the overcorrection. Where we as the coaches are so cognizant of that perception of our child getting favoritism or extra special treatment, that praise is withheld, that rewards are diminished, that the criticism is intense at times. So, how are you guys able to kind of thread that line where you probably deserved a ton of attention? Obviously, you did at the level you're at, but mom's got to be careful because it can't
Right.
just be the Ellie show.
100%. My mom and I have always had an agreement, like, if it becomes too much or one of us has disrespected the other in any form, that we would cut it off. But I feel like our personalities just mesh so well, and I feel like I've learned even so much from like a coaching standpoint, from her, that I understand like she's getting hard on me not because not to be mean or to be rude, but to grow me as a player, and she knows my potential, and that's how she's going to get it out of me. So.
Yeah. See, it is funny. We do tend to overcorrect. I even did it to my daughter yesterday at a what 44-0 game where you know, there's kids double dribbling. Like, you know, there was a couple
Right.
points where we're like, sweetie, you have to inbound the ball first. You can't just take it, right? And like she had one where she was like, I can't remember what it was, like a crossover, and it was like a really sloppy pickup, and she definitely took a third step before she knocked down like a 15-footer, which no one even hits jump shots at that age. And she comes back down the court and I'm like, that's a travel, right? You've got to get that lead foot down. Like that shouldn't have counted. And she's just like, whatever.
Right.
And like, would I have said that to anyone else on my team? Like, probably not, right?
Right.
So, but also we do have that dynamic where she kind of smiled and she knew too, and she's like, I know,
Yeah.
right? Like she wants to be pushed, right? So I think that's a really the hidden benefit. We focus a lot on some of the challenges. One of the things that I am jealous of with you and your mom is, yeah, it's a lot of car time. That is 9 to 10 hours of shared experience
Yep.
a week through your entire childhood. And just what an incredible blessing that is. You also hear a lot about one of the biggest challenges with youth sports, what kids say they hate the most. The number one thing they don't like about youth sports is car ride home. Because it tends to become Maybe you just get to read the Iliad, but usually it is, for most kids, a 90-minute or 60-minute critique of performance, and sometimes you just don't want that. So were there times where it was like, look, we're just going to ride for an hour and a half and we're not even going to talk about volleyball? And were there other times where it was, let's get granular and start breaking down everything that happened in practice and everything we need to do? Like, did you guys have a little bit of both? Was it, hey, we're in the car and boom, it's over? Or were we still talking volleyball?
I'd say definitely a mix of both. I can think of a few times where it was that car ride that every kid is like, "Oh my God,
Enough
mom, like
already.
stop talking to me. I'm done." Like, you know,
Oh, yeah.
I know I played bad, whatever. But there were also a lot of, like, I'd say a lot of the time my mom and I like to strategize, like analyze the game, like
Oh,
what
yeah.
went wrong, what did we do well? Especially playing for her like for so long, we both can almost not read each other's minds, but we know what the other's thinking. So that was actually, I'd say, a fun part of having your mom as the coach is I'm able to see it from like the coach's standpoint. She's able to see it from the player's standpoint, which is really helpful. But yeah, a few times we had a car ride where I was just like, enough, you know? But every kid has gone through that, so
I think it's cool though, is it becomes almost like your love language, where
yeah.
my daughters both play volleyball too, and my youngest is super excited to ask you some volleyball questions, but we tend to talk hoops more just because I'm their coach and we spend a little
Right.
that may I think that's where they're a little stronger out of the two. But I mean, it is there will be times where it's like, okay, no basketball, and there'll be other times where we're talking like intricate like plays and strategies, and like who gets to have that conversation with a 10 or an 11-year-old kid? But then the cool thing is, as they grow and develop, you just see the massive difference in the way they process the sport, and what a really cool advantage it is, assuming the kid loves it, which obviously you do. So I'll give you a couple, like, let's switch topics a little bit here. So obviously you are happily committed to Indiana University. They are jet setting you all over the globe from day one. At your level, it's a little different. We have a lot of guests on, especially at the NAIA, even to the low D1 level, where this process might really kick in summer after junior year, sometimes even senior year. Once all the D1 kids kind of clear, then the rest of the folks start recruiting. At your level, it starts early. Now, I know there's some legal contact periods, blah, 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 blah. But, like, look, let's face it, if you're going to IU, you didn't just wake up as a junior and realize it. You've known for a very long time. So, at what point did you start realizing, okay, these offers are going to be there? They're starting to come in. Like, when did it really get serious, serious?
I think for my team especially, a lot of the girls had older sisters that they could like interview and see like, hey, when do I start posting clips and when do I start reaching out to coaches? So I think from a very early age, like we had already started posting like recruiting videos and highlights just like in hopes of getting seen. But I'd say probably like eighth grade, like summer before freshman years when I really started like emailing coaches and reaching out to them and sending them film and just hoping like that they could send me a camp invite because that was really all that they could do. So
Sure. And so when it got to that time, then I know Indiana was your choice. What were some other schools in the mix, or some other places you took a serious look at?
the summer before I could commit, my mom and I, we like to say we went on like a massive road trip. We drove down to North Carolina. We visited the University of North Carolina and Duke. Just went to camps there, which both incredible campuses, by the way. So cool. We went to my dad and I actually, while my mom was in Florida with my other sister, went to Western Kentucky. We went to IU that summer. And those were probably my big four camps that summer. But we had been to a few in the past. Notre Dame really comes to mind there. But yeah, those are just a few of the schools that we toured before that June 15th. So
So when did you know it was IU?
really the first time that I went to camp there, which was probably the year prior. The story is kind of funny actually because obviously I play club at Purdue. So
Correct. I'm sure that was a tough one for them.
yeah,
Oh.
growing up, like my entire life, I was like, IU, like, what do you mean? Like, I would never
Right.
go to school there until one of my teammates was going to camp there. And they were like, you know, like reaching out to the team, hey, does anyone else want to come to camp at IU? And I was like, you know what? Sure, I'll go. Like, what do I have to lose? Nothing. And they had reached out to me a few times, so I knew that they were interested. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. And literally, the second I step in the gym, the music's blaring, like everybody's going. I'm like, this is already perfect because that's exactly my speed. And one of the coaches comes over to me. He's like, my name's Ariel, which a lot of people don't know, but he's like, Ariel, like, how are you? Because a lot of people, that's how they knew me. But, and I have no idea who he is. So I'm like, oh, like, what's up? How are you doing? But it was so special, like, that they knew who I was, and
Yeah.
came right up to me, started talking to me. And throughout the whole camp, it was just an incredible experience. So.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good sneaky leadership lesson where I think we grow up thinking that we're going to get respect by our resume or telling everyone this accomplishment, that, and generally we get respect by making other people feel special, making other
100%.
people feel seen. So with your role on a volleyball court, you're a libero. That's a position that comes with some natural leadership responsibilities. You're touching the ball more than an average person. You're making more decisions on the court than a typical player. That comes with a lot of leadership. So coming in as a freshman, what do you envision as some of the leadership challenges, or what are some of your goals as you get to campus?
I think for me, I remember coming in as a freshman in high school and just trying to balance that line of trying to lead, but also allowing the older girls to show me like how it works in their program, if that makes sense.
Of course.
And trying to like integrate my own qualities with the qualities that they've already established. So I think that that's going to be huge for me. Getting there, learning. Growing and then just trying to bring what I can to the team my freshman year, so.
Well, I have a funny feeling that you're going to blend in quickly. So I know I gave you this compliment off the air too. So came from an article that I read. They're asking all these executives in the NBA to talk about the best leaders in the sport and what made them so special. And I think that from a distance we perceive leadership as giving instructions or being demanding or being in charge, or the other way, I am the top performer. I do these things on the court. But the thing that kept coming up was Steph Curry. And I thought what was cool is they said what really set him apart is this effortless, overflowing joy that he plays with. And you guys can, even if you're listening on audio right now, you can hear it in Ellie's voice. You radiate joy in a way that is not common, especially at your age, like this comfort, this joy. So I have no doubt that the locker room is going to love you. Whether you play every single second, or you have to wait your time, you're going to be a leader on that program. And that isn't even a question. That's just a sincere compliment. You just
Oh, thank
explode
you.
with joy. IU is super lucky to have you. So this is might be hard to answer, but where does this joy come from? You have such comfort in your own skin and just this explosive happiness that is not normal at high school age. So where does all this joy come from?
Yeah, so I would definitely say just knowing my identity. A lot of people that I know at this age put their identity in, I wouldn't say the wrong things, but just different things than me. For me, my faith is everything. Knowing when you have to play volleyball or any sport at such a high level, a lot of the time we base our joy on how well am I playing or am I getting playing time? And for me, that's just not where it comes from. I think that I could lose every single game for the rest of my life and still, I'm competitive, don't get me wrong, but
Yeah, you'd be mad.
I could still live with myself and be okay because I know that that's not what my identity is in. So that's where all my joy comes from, at least.
So has faith been something your family has always grown up with? Is this something you sort of discovered in middle school, high school, or do you remember a time where that wasn't part of your identity, I guess?
Yes and no. My dad was a pastor for, I want to say, 15 years. So, I mean, I grew up in the church. He even planted a few churches. So I have just always had that faith aspect as a part of my life. But I think around like middle school-ish time, that's when you start to really struggle. Like, you have to make your faith your own and like, where is my identity? So I think I definitely went through a patch where I did struggle and I thought like I'm not playing very well. I don't know if I can even continue to play at this high level. Like, I feel like I'm falling behind. And there were a lot of times where I doubted myself for a while, but eventually I had to realize, like, volleyball is not everything. It's not who I am. It's just kind of what I do. And I love it, but that's not where I should place my identity. So.
Yeah, I love it. I think we talk, I've had like a lot of athletic directors on, and this idea that our sport is in who we are, and it's not that what matters, it's whose we are. And that is so difficult, especially at the level you're playing at, where it is a little bit more, I wouldn't say cutthroat, but it's very performance driven. I mean, you are in the top percent of the top percent of the top percent of high school players in the world. And so it does put a little bit more pressure on. So as you head to this big, huge, massive school, where we live in Indiana, I mean, I don't know how your volleyball team was, but I've seen a lot of your other high school sports teams play, and I've seen both your boys and girls basketball teams praying on the floor after the game. I believe that's fairly common at Warsaw. And I think there's this almost nationwide revival where you're seeing such an awesome comfort level and acceptance of faith, particularly in sports. So how do you keep that going at IU at a big school? He's a, hey, I'm going to interview your whole family. Tell him not to go too far. He's next.
Sorry, could you repeat the question just one more time?
No, so obviously you're going to a public school, and I'm sure you probably have many, many teammates that'll be Christians. You'll probably have plenty of teammates that are wonderful human beings that don't put their identity in Christ and in faith, and maybe even other religions. That's perfectly fine and wonderful. But how do you continue to bring that faith-based joy as you head into a big school? Because you have a really, really, really cool opportunity and platform with the success you've had to be that light of the world, right?
I think for me specifically is just loving my teammates as Christ would. And I want to be that light for them. Obviously, I try to be as joyful as possible, but I think that for me, it's like a lot of people can recognize that joy, but they don't know where it comes from, just as you had asked me earlier. So I feel like that's almost my way of being able to let them in on this little secret that I have and where my joy comes from. But I think that there's actually a lot of opportunities for me at IU to find a good group of friends who will help me stay on the right path, especially I know IU's not, it's kind of infamous for its party school
I
vibe or
think it's part
whatever,
of just
but
being 18 to 22. I mean, most state schools are going to be, just a few more opportunities than you might have in a small town high school, but
For sure. But obviously that's not really what I'm interested in, and I'm excited to be able to find other people there who are like-minded and even hopefully be able to lead some of my teammates in that direction as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing some really cool stuff happen in college athletics. Like I know like the football folks up at Ohio State and that ministry has just caught fire and gone viral, and you're just seeing so much more of it. And I have no doubt that you're going to be not just a great teammate, but just a really, really awesome leader and example on campus. So let's fast forward 5 years down the road, right? Four and a half. So volleyball, collegiate career coming to a close. What would you like people to say about Ellie at the end of your IU career? What would success look like?
I think just as you said earlier, my head coach Steve had actually said something really similar in an interview. He said that Ellie plays with an uncommon joy, which I think is exactly the phrasing that you used, but that is
Oh, maybe I
100% what
stole
I would,
it.
that is 100% what I would love for people to see. I want them to know, that yes, volleyball is what I do, but like we said earlier, it's not who I am, and my passion and fire and energy all have a purpose, and that I'm not playing this sport just for myself. So I hope that people can realize that I do have an uncommon joy, but I also want them to know where it came from. So.
Yeah, I do think it's a sneaky key to life that they don't teach you in school. And I wear lots of hats. Like we're building, hopefully building this ministry to be this nationwide thing. I hope we end up having hundreds and maybe thousands of college Christian athletes mentoring people all over the globe, and that we can reach millions and millions of people. But even in like my like speaking career, I'll get asked like, like, you just seem like you're just having a blast. I'm like, I am. They're like, well, tell me, what's your favorite audience? And I'm like, this one. And they're like, you mean this one? I'm like, well, until tomorrow, then it's this one. And there's something like magnetic about just being delighted to be where your feet are and make as much impact as you can. So don't lose that, man. Keep that fire and joy. So as we wind down here, I would say we always go a little longer than I mean to, but I have a blast. I just like meeting you guys and learning about your stories. So for all of the young people out there, I'm a girl dad, I'm a girl sports dad. I got two little volleyball player hoopers at home too. Like, what would you tell that 12, 13, 14-year-old girl who maybe it's not IU, but just dreaming of being a standout volleyball player in high school, or maybe even taking it to that next level collegiately? What advice would you have for someone who wants to follow a similar path to yours?
Yeah, I think that number one is, like we said earlier, know where your identity is, because it does get really hard. Even volleyball is not linear. You're going to have highs and lows. So even being able to stay consistently content throughout that time is really important. But I would also say a lot of that, it becomes easier when you focus on your teammates rather than yourself. I think that, especially even during games or practices, helping lift up your teammates, it takes your focus off of your own mistakes, and just pouring into others actually has helped me a lot too in my own journey. So,
I love that. That's such a great way of looking at being a good teammate as well, right? When we are more focused on others around us, we tend to have a lot more success as well. Well, Ellie, thank you so much for your time. We are absolutely going to be
Yes.
praying for you as you head off to Indiana and do great things both on and off the court. And I know a lot of people will be excitedly following your journey back here in Indiana, and then all the new fans you're going to make around the world. So thank you
Oh,
so much
thank
for your
you so
time.
much.
Don't go too far because I'm going to grab my ace interviewing fifth grader here. She's got to gonna put you on the hot seat. But for now, we will give you
Perfect.
a brief break and just say thank you. We will be praying for you. And yeah, go Hoosiers, man.
Oh,
Congratulations.
thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.